The 17th and 18th centuries were also noted and notable for the advances in the areas of pharmacology, and this specifically because of the discovery and use of two drugs, quinine derived from the bark of the cinchona tree in South America, in Peru and specific, and digitalis, which is derived from the foxglove plant. These were very significant advances because, as we've already noticed, there really weren't any medications that treated specific diseases in classical antiquity and up till really this period, as nearly as one can tell, looking very carefully at the pharmacopoeia of antiquity and as much as one can find in the materials of other countries. There were occasionally active compounds, but the strange and peculiar thing is that they were virtually never actually used for diseases which they might have helped. And I believe I've mentioned before, aspirin can be derived from willow bark, and you do occasionally find willow bark mentioned in classical pharmacopoeia, but not for the treatment of fever or not for the treatment of joint pain. So if there were substances that had effects, it seems to have been accidental. But in the 17th and 18th centuries, these two drugs did make their appearance and had a significant effect. The first one, section 2.1, cinchona bark, from which quinine is derived, was discovered in Peru, and its discovery and its initial popularity, its initial transport back from the New World to the Old, is attributed to the Jesuits who were involved in missionary work, and in particular to the Jesuit Barnabé de Cobo, who apparently discovered that there were Native Americans in various regions who used cinchona bark as a medication, and he discovered that it was in fact, when it was dried and powdered and then provided to individuals, it was in fact effective against fever. Now, as it turns out, it is only effective against the fever that is caused by malaria. So what people had, although they did not realize it for a very long time, was a medication that was actually effective in treating malaria. And it was it became very popular and widespread. The export of cinchona bark became a significant industry. It was, again, something which the Jesuit order was properly credited with, and which it did its best to investigate and then to make this new drug, this new medication, popular. But it's a little bit ironic that it was thought to be effective against any kind of fever. And indeed, even once quinine was more efficiently extracted from the bark and bark preparations per se were not being used, it was thought that quinine would treat fever up until relatively modern times, up until the late 19th and early 20th centuries. So one found that it was an effective drug, but really it was only effective against one disease, that is to say against the fever caused by malaria, but it was widely used against other diseases for which it really wasn't particularly effective. More specifically effective is the drug digitalis, and there are a variety of glycosides, of extracts of foxglove that are related to digitalis that are active against the symptoms of heart disease. The popular name for this was dropsy, which was an English term for the term hydrops, which means that there was a kind of a watery swelling. The person's feet would swell, perhaps their abdomen would swell as well, and it was vaguely recognized that this might have something to do with the heart, among some physicians. And William Withering, discovered that there was a woman, a wise woman, who was very revered in the north of England, who was using a medication that was regarded as effective against dropsy, as it was called, and he investigated and worked out for himself that the active ingredient was probably foxglove. And as a consequence of his study and his use of this medication, and he published a very famous text, an account of the foxglove and some of its medical uses, which I've given you a copy of the frontispiece in the under section 2.2, Withering made available a drug which could now be grown locally, did not have to be imported from a foreign country. It could be grown in Europe and in England, and then could be used for the treatment of what we would today call congestive heart failure. And indeed, digitalis preparations are still widely used for in congestive heart failure, and the full reason for their mechanism of action is not completely understood. It's a very complicated drug and appears to have many different effects. One of the problems, of course, was that since physicians were not the only ones who were able to use pharmacies in the 18th and 19th centuries, when patients found out that this drug was helping them, unfortunately, they would often believe that if a little is good, a lot is better, and so patients would obtain more of this drug and take it, and of course, it's very toxic if taken in overdose, so its use was regarded as something potentially dangerous and which required a great deal of skill and craft in order to apply. But again, these are two drugs that are actually specific against particular diseases, and this is something quite new in the annals of medicine. If we drop down next to the next section, number 3, that I've labeled Medical Dogmatism and Lay Skepticism, what I wanted to highlight here was the fact that what we would today call patient autonomy, the fact that patients knew quite well that they had the right to accept medical care or to reject it, to go to the physician or not go to the physician as they wished, was extremely widespread. People knew perfectly well that a lot of what physicians claimed to do for you didn't actually make you that much better. And probably one of the best examples of this, and again, this would have been even prior to the introduction of some of the effective drugs that we've just mentioned, one of the best depictors of this popular awareness was Molière, the writer of satires. And in his satire, Love is the Best Doctor, he has a dialogue which I've given you here that really illustrates well the kind of popular sense of what good are physicians, and it gives you a sense of how medicine would have been regarded more widely in the world around it. It's an argument or a discussion between a young man named Lysetta who is engaged to the daughter of Sconerel, and Sconerel loves medicine. He wants to be a practitioner of medicine himself. He is eager to consult physicians, and his potential son-in-law, Lysetta, is much more skeptical about all of this, and especially when it comes to treating his fiancée. He says, after his fiancée has become ill, "What will you do, sir, with 4 physicians? Is not one enough to kill any one person?" He says, "Hold your tongue. 4 heads are better than one." "Well, can't your daughter die well enough without the assistance of these gentlemen?" And his potential father-in-law is horrified. "Do you think people die through having physicians?" He says, "Undoubtedly. I knew a man who maintained and proved it too, by excellent reasons that we should never say such a person's died of a fever or an inflammation of the lungs, but he died of 4 doctors and 2 apothecaries." And so Sconerel says, "Hush, don't offend these gentlemen." And then Lysetta says, basically he gives a little tirade that says, "It's a good thing there are no what we would today call veterinarians, or else my poor little cat, which was ill, would have been purged and bled and probably killed." And he says, "Will you hold your tongue, I say? What impertinence is this? Here they come." And Lysetta rather cynically articulates the wisdom of his age. He says, "Take care. You are going to be finely edified. They will tell you in Latin that your daughter is ill." And another kind of example of this is, and this is from a textbook of medical history from Logan Clendening's source book. Actually, the doctors that he was caricaturing are characters who were very well known in Paris. one individual, himself a physician, claims that he knew the names of them, and all four of these famous physicians were involved in attending Cardinal Mazarin during his last days and his final illness. They weren't able to agree as to the cause of his illness, and according to this source, at a later time, when one of them was entangled in a crowd of vehicles in the street, a cart driver shouted, "Let the doctor go ahead. He's the one who did us the service to rid us of the cardinal." Again, a kind of popular cynicism involving an expectation that medicine doesn't necessarily help, and in fact, it might actually cause harm. Again, a reminder that during this period, patient autonomy was very, very strong. It was the patient who decided whether or not they wanted to seek out medical care, and if so, whether to cooperate with it.